a lot of people ask me, you know, Joshua, since you have all this knowledge about relationships and you're an expert, does that mean that you have absolutely perfect relationships all the time now? I mean, do you ever have any problems with your relationship? Do you ever have any failed relationships? Do you ever have something happen to you that you can't explain, you don't see coming? And the truth is, I do always have perfect relationships now. I use what I know here and what I've always used to make sure that I have complete power over the relationship. I have power over what happens to me, what happens to the person with me. I understand so well that I can control and have the outcome that best fits both of us. Now, again, there's a negative side to that, and that is that I don't get to feel the emotion like my girlfriend or, you know, someday my wife will get to feel. Instead, I have to make sure that we're not in trouble while she's feeling good. Now, she'll keep constantly reinforce me, and basically her job is to elicit that emotion out of me, so I don't have to actively try to feel anything. Eventually, she will help me feel for her, and that's her job. So I do constantly calibrate and balance a relationship. Now, another constant question that I get is, well, then since you have perfect relationships forever, do you think that there's never a chance you'd ever get cheated on again? And that's a very good question. The answer is, I think that I will never get cheated on again because I have a system for never getting cheated on again. And that is what I use in every relationship. Cheating is only happens whenever someone feels like they need to supply something that you're not supplying. Whatever that is, they need to get something that you weren't giving to them. Now, the problem is instead of asking you for it, they go to someone else for it. So, and a lot of people do this because they're afraid. So instead of, regardless of why it happens right now, if you can handle all those objections ahead of time and make sure that everything's out in the open, you can effectively, using a system of do's and don'ts and a system of whys for this, you can effectively keep anyone from cheating on you for as long as you want. And I'm going to go over the secrets for that right now. The first thing you need to know is that relationships are not static. They aren't something that happens and stays like they are. Relationships constantly grow, constantly change, constantly improve. And if you don't improve with the relationship, you will be outgrown. There are 6 rules to long-term relationships that are pretty phenomenal rules. And those rules I'll be going over during this chapter. But one of the rules is called reinforcement, and that's the idea that we improve each other in a relationship. More detail on that in a little bit. But relationships as a whole are not static. If you're getting into a relationship to feel comfortable, that means you're getting into a relationship to not grow, to not change. You cannot base a relationship on comfort. You have to base a relationship on growth, on improvement. So the person you're with has to help you grow. And you have to help them grow, even if it means that they can't grow with you. There's not a worse feeling in the world than feeling like you are unwanted. But there's a way to keep that from happening as well. There's a way to make sure you don't ever feel unwanted, but you have to grasp 3 major concepts before that's going to happen to you. The first major concept is you have control over your worth. You know that you can control your value and your personal self-worth and your confidence. You can do this. Again, we covered that during the section on value and confidence, and there's a lot more on that in the members area. Make sure you get all the information you can about that. Second, if you get cheated on, it is your fault, not her fault. She's finding someone else because she isn't getting what she wants out of you, and you are too unaware to find out what that thing is. You're also too hurt and egomaniacal to be able to lay down your shields and be vulnerable for a second and let her know that you want to know what that is. The reason why is because in the past, you were probably all about trying to be in a relationship and have a girlfriend as a status symbol or prove to yourself that you could do it, and not about growth. If you're not about growth, seriously, it doesn't matter what you do, you are going to fail. And third, you're responsible. You are responsible for making sure that your relationship works. No one else is responsible for it. Your girlfriend, the girl you're dating, the girl you used to date, the girl who cheated on you in the past, Nobody is responsible for making sure your relationships work except you. This is very important. You cannot take a passive role in a relationship. You have to take the male gender role and play the male gender role in your relationship if you want to attract women who are playing the female gender role, if you want to feel like, quote unquote, a man. Now, what you want to do, though, in order to make these three things happen, to make sure that these three mindsets stay there, is you want to constantly, and make sure you never get cheated on again, is that it's very simple. I mean, you have to have one concept in mind. If you do this one thing, then you will be, you can rest assured that you won't ever be cheated on ever again. And that one thing is, you have to be the best option. So that one little thing, obviously, pops up an instant question that is, how the hell do I do that? Well, as long as you're the best option, though, she'd be crazy to cheat on you. And of course, she will not cheat on you. But in order to be the best option, you have to understand what women are actually interested in. What is going to make you her best option? Now, there are plenty of things that are going to make you her best option, but ultimately, if you don't know what those things are, and if you can't get well, it doesn't even matter if you just know what those things are. You also have to implement those things in a way that will best suit you and your relationship. If you can't do that, then there's a good reason why she's leaving you for someone else. She's searching for that guy who can do that. So how do you do this? Well, it's actually pretty simple to be the best option, but your entire life and lifestyle has to revolve around it. Everything in your life has to revolve around improving on what I consider to be the three pillars of badass, basically. In order to be the best option, you have to improve on the three pillars of badass every day. Three pillars of badass are business. You need to have really improving, and every day you have to improve on your business skills. This speaks directly to your provider instinct and your ability to provide in the future. Women are better at scouting talent than they are at signing big names, basically. If you look in like a talent agency, they would much rather date you if they think you have potential to be big than to try to date someone who's already big. The reason why is because your value increases and their value most likely doesn't. They most likely hit their peak. They want you to be that someday, and if you show them signs that you are going to be that someday, they will be 100% behind you. The second is you want to be a complete badass and constantly improve on fitness, martial arts, survival skills, things like this, handyman stuff. Anything that involves you making something happen in order to protect you and the people around you. Like I said, martial arts and fitness are massive. Martial arts specifically, or defense, any kind that you want to get into, is really crucial. You don't have to be the best at it. You don't have to devote your entire life to it, but you do want to know enough and have an create an instinct that allows you to protect yourself and the people near you. Fitness, you want to stay in shape if you want to be her best option, or she might leave you for someone who's thinner or more in shape. That's just how it is. You want to make sure that you never have this insecurity that you're not good enough. And if fitness is part of that insecurity, if your weight is part of that insecurity, and just be honest with yourself if it is, you got to take care of it. You have to. No matter how hard it is, I don't care. There's no whining in baseball. Just take care of it. Also, survival and handyman skills. Survival skills allows her to know that even if the worst case scenario happens, you'll be able to take control over the situation and assess it and step out of it on top. That goes right along with, say, if EMT or emergency medical training skills are also very, very handy and very attractive because they feel safer ultimately being with you in any scenario. And of course, handyman skills allows her to know that if anything goes wrong with anything nearly, you should be able to fix it or figure it out. So that's the second thing you have to make sure that you are constantly improving on and constantly on top of. The final thing is relationship psychology, or your ability to attract women and men, really. Attract people into your life. Now, she's going to need you to be attractive in the purest sense of the word, as people need to be curious and want to know more about you. She needs that quality in you, or otherwise she's not going to be as attracted to you. So how do you get all three of these things? How do you get the business improvement? What's the best way to get business improvement? What's the best way to get fitness and martial arts improvement? What's the best way to get relationship psychology improvement? Well, business, one of the best ways I've found personally I've tried lots and lots of things. The best thing that I have found, and I've gone through a lot of other people as well and asked them what they thought, and this has been unanimously the best thing that you can do to improve yourself with business, is find mentors. Find several mentors who are really good at what they do. Now, when you find these mentors, you're going to be very tempted to gain both their positive and their negative qualities. What I want you to do is, when you find a mentor, take a piece of paper out, write down their name at the top, and then write down all their positive qualities that you respect about them. These are the things that you want to gain from these people. These are the reasons why you hang out with them. You want to gain this positive quality. So, from your mentors, make sure you write down all their positive qualities and you focus on getting those qualities. Now, if some of their negative qualities show up, that's okay. Don't freak out. It's all right. But you don't want to act like that and gain their negative qualities. In the end of the day, you should be, if you could put all the positive qualities of all your heroes together, you should be that person. In order to get fitness and martial arts and hand-to-hand survival skills, there's no way around this. You're going to have to just practice. I like to have a system to what I do. If I have a fitness, if I'm trying to improve myself in fitness and strength, I like to have a system that I know will take me there, some kind of workout plan. If I'm in martial arts, I need to know who's teaching me. I need to know that they have a system for getting me to where they are. Survival skills as well. I need to know some bottom line system-oriented things, some truths that I know that I can take with me anywhere and repurpose. And then also handyman skills. I need to know how things work. I need to know the system to how things work. And then I can practice everything. That's fine. After that, it's just a matter of getting in there and actually doing it as often as possible. And finally, in relationship psychology, you're taking care of that right now. Part of it, at least. You're taking care of the study part. The other part is the application part. Make sure you apply the stuff that you learn regarding relationship psychology. When I first started studying, all I did was apply stuff that I learned in psychology class, and I had a massive improvement in my skills with women and relationships in general and attraction. So make sure you're always on top of those three pillars of badass. Of course, the members area is completely devoted to that, and this book is devoted to one of those three pillars. So how do you make sure, in a relationship though, what can you physically do to make sure that you do not get cheated on ever again? I know I said make sure that you are the best option always by improving, but what else can you do? Is there any other little tips and techniques that I know? And the answer is, of course, there are plenty of little tips and techniques, and I'll tell them to you now. First, you want to set the frame early. And by that I mean you want to let her know that she'd be crazy to leave you early on. Now, you don't want to come just straight out usually and say this, though I have before, and I can say it in the proper way to where I don't really need to worry about it. But if you're going to come straight out and say it, you need to let her know why it is you're saying this. Why would she be crazy to leave you? You have to back it up with something. And you're going to say the truth. The truth is that because every day you are more attractive than the day before. And tomorrow you will be more attractive than you were today. So that means that every day you are the most attractive you've ever been in your entire life. She's never going to meet another guy that when she wakes up in the morning is more attractive than when she went to bed with him at nighttime. And you know that unless he's in our members area and he's listening to this right now or reading this right now. If, and in which case, hey, he might be doing it better than you can and you need to learn from him. So make sure that you let her know why. That is why. Tell her that. And, it can be a lighthearted conversation, but it cannot be a joke. Make sure that you're for real during the process. Second rule is, do not be cocky during this process. It is just the truth. It's not you being arrogant. You're just saying the truth. If she can't handle the truth and she doesn't want you to feel that way, she's not making you feel more valuable as a man. And this is a major problem, and you will have to call that out with her and let her know that you need her to support that, otherwise you can't be with her. And finally, you want to obviously make all these things that you said the truth first. So you have to actually be more attractive today than you were yesterday. And the way that you do that is you study more and you know more than you did yesterday. And each of those three areas, three pillars of badass, you want to improve even if just slightly, a little tiny bit, but you want to improve every single day in those three areas. As long as you do that, you will not get cheated on. You'll be fine. She will never leave you. And if she does, she is nuts, absolutely crazy. And you won't have to worry about you making any kind of mistakes. If you act like this as well and you know that this is how you are and you constantly improve, you will have women in line waiting to date you if she screws up. And she sees that, she will not leave you. The bottom line is you have to make the effort to do it. There's no easy way out of this. It's just how it is. So if you get the feeling that she is cheating on you, though, if you currently have that feeling or you ever suspect it at all, here's a list of do's and don'ts that you want to take care of. If you really even care, if you're in a polyamorous relationship, obviously you can't get cheated on because there's no cheating in a polyamorous relationship. That's the whole point of a polyamorous relationship. You're in it because it's open. So here's a list of things you don't want to do, though, if you're in a monogamous relationship and you feel that maybe you may have slipped up and now she's cheating on you. Do not go through her personal messages, email, phone, nothing like that. Please, please do not do this. You're going to label yourself as a psycho and she'll have a reason to cheat on you then, even if she's not. You ultimately will be doing that through insecurity. If you have a problem, deal with it like a man. Don't deal with it like a little boy. Do not cheat on her back if you suspect her. Even if you know that she's doing it, don't cheat on her back. Break up with her if you know she's cheating on you. What the hell are you thinking? Most guys at least, will think that they are going to hurt the person they're with by cheating on them. When in fact, all you do is make her feel better for cheating on you if you cheat on her back. It may hurt her a little bit, but at least it reinforces the idea that she should have been cheating on you in the first place. Do not cheat on her back. Also, this is going to be crazy, and I know it's going to be hard to follow, but do not freak out. Please keep your head on straight. Don't go nuts. I know that you're going to be very emotional. You might be very hurt by this, but don't ever blame it on anyone. You have to understand this is your fault, and you have to take this blame like a man and learn from it. Fourth, don't be afraid to let her know that you're hurt. I mean, if you are hurt, tell her. That really hurts me a lot. And let her know. Don't pretend like it doesn't hurt you at all and try it all tough guy. That's not going to work. It never has worked. It never will work. She can see right through it and just makes you look weak. So don't do it. Also, don't be a pushover and just forgive her without major relationship overhaul. If you get cheated on, you got cheated on. Don't just let that happen again and don't just say, it's all right. Let's try this. Let's just go ahead and start over and I'll take all the blame here. And no, don't do that. There's no you taking all the blame here. There's no you saying, oh, it's okay. We can fix this. There's no we can fix this. She just cheated on you. So if you are willing to put in the effort and you're both willing to put in the effort for major, major, massive relationship overhaul and you are interested in learning every day more about how to be better as a man and how to be more attractive to her, then go ahead, by all means, do major relationship overhaul. But if you're not willing to do that, don't just be a pushover and forgive her. Just say, look, this is done for now. This is obviously the wrong time. Go out and do your thing, and I'll go out and do my thing. And if in the future we can work this out, we will. So you go back to the breakup. Do not ever, though, if you do end up doing major relationship overhaul, do not ever accept it happening twice. If it happens twice, you're done, dude. You're just done. And that's the end of it. If it happens after you have the conversation, rather, then you're just done. So it just means that your relationship is off timing. The timing is not there. Just let it go. It may feel really amazing, but something that you're missing because it's not a picture-perfect relationship. So you're doing something wrong. So how about this? What about the things that you do want to do if you think that she's cheating on you? Well, first thing is, of course, ask her point blank. Don't use names at all. Don't say, ask her if she's cheating on someone specifically, or cheating on you with someone specifically. Just ask if she has cheated on you or if she is cheating on you. And whenever you get her answer, watch her eye accessing cues. We talked a little bit about this during the body language section of the Tao of Badass. But make sure you check to see. She'll be looking down regardless, probably because you're putting her in a very uncomfortable and compromising position by asking her, even if she hasn't. But remember to look for the clusters that you learned during the process that you went through for this education. So next, do put your foot down. Don't allow her to talk her way out of it. Don't allow her to don't fold basically under the pressure. Make sure that you put your foot down. You say, look, there's no cheating in this relationship. If you do cheat in this relationship, it's over. That's just how it is. It's not like we're going to try it again, nothing like that. Just if you're going to cheat, let me know ahead of time if you're interested in somebody else, and I'll just let you go so you don't have to cheat on me. And if you suspect that she is, just put your foot down and be a man and stand up and ask. Number three, do take some time to let your feelings calm down, but do not leave in order to do that. Don't leave her and leave the situation and walk out the door or turn around or want to be alone during this process. Go through it in front of her. Allow her to see your emotional decision, that emotional process that you're going through. If you're very, very angry and you haven't even asked her yet, tell her to sit there and look at you until you calm down enough to ask her. Don't be mad whenever you're asking her, though. Don't ask her from an emotional point of view. If you do, you're going to miss all the I-axis and cues, and you're also going to invoke emotions in her that you may misread as lie cues, as lying cues, so you can't do that. Make sure you stay there, though, and you don't leave in order to do it. Otherwise, you will almost absolutely allow her to make her decision on her own and yours on your own. And most likely, it will not be a mutual decision. And she'll want to either continue the relationship and you won't, or you'll want to continue the relationship and she won't. So make sure you stay there and you let yourself calm down. And finally, what you do want to do is you do want to ask her why and take her seriously. Not angry, don't be mad, don't be upset, don't cry. If you can keep from crying, obviously don't cry. If you can't keep from crying, then wait until you're done and you're calm and you're logical about it. But ask her why she did, if she did, and then take her answer very seriously, because this will be the best feedback you've ever gotten in your life. She's about to tell you what you did wrong that made her want to leave, but also what you did that she felt she couldn't bring up and she felt like you could not correct. And if you want to learn some things right now in psychology for women, that will help you understand that pillar, this pillar of badass, the being a badass with women and being badass with relationship psychology, let me tell you 6 rules of long-term attraction that'll help you build long-term attraction and also sustain long-term attraction. So the first of the 6 rules of long-term attraction, which are rules that I learned and compiled in psychology, but a lot of the rules were unfinished or completely off the point. For example, one of them is similarities, and similarities they thought were that if you had common interests, but in fact it's not that you have common interests, it's something completely different. So I'll get to that in a bit. But these are crucial. These are the 6 things that help you build long-term attraction. And you want to keep an eye on all these 6 things, and doing the things that I told you to already for the 3 pillars will help you do this. But make sure that you keep all of these in mind. These, along with your gender role that you're playing, will allow you to either attract someone long-term or not. So the first is called familiarity. Familiarity is the idea that you see someone in the same context over and over and over again until finally you build what's called a subconscious, or some people call it unconscious, but really subconscious rapport. A subconscious rapport is a connection that you make under the assumption that someone is basically not a psycho. You see them in the same place often, you see them doing the same things often, and because of that, you feel a sense of familiarity whenever you see them. This makes you feel comfortable. If every time you go to a coffee shop and you read a good book, and someone's there across from you, as you read this good book, you're going to have an emotional anchor, not only with the coffee shop and the book, but also with them. If you're in a good mood, then whenever you're at this coffee shop and you have this good feeling, you're going to anchor that good feeling to them. So keep that in mind. If you keep doing the same things in the same place in a consistent manner, then you'll create familiarity. Another thing you can use is what's called propinquity. Propinquity is a strange word, but ultimately it means your social proximity. It's how close someone is within your social circle. Now, if you are in a social circle, usually what you'll do is you'll play a specific role within that social circle. Regardless of whether or not you are playing roles randomly on your own, whenever you get within this social circle, you'll play a specific role within this group. Now, within this group, what we end up doing as a culture is when a lot of people are together, we play our role, other people play other roles, and as a whole, as a group, we end up playing all of the gender roles and all the roles of the gender roles possible, that are possible. So there'll be a leader, there'll be a host, there'll be a protector, someone who provides, someone who needs to be protected, someone who needs to be provided for. There'll be tons and tons of people that play specific niche roles within the social group. Now imagine this. Imagine you walk up to a girl in a social group and everyone in her social group hates you. Okay, well, that's fine. Sometimes people are just mean, right? That's not a big deal. And you keep going, you keep pushing through, you use attraction triggers, you do what you can. And then finally, you realize it's not getting anywhere. What are the chances that you can take this girl away from her social group when all of her social group doesn't like you? The chances are pretty small. And the reason why the chances are pretty slim and it's probably not going to happen is because she's thinking, okay, well, right now I have everything that I need. All my gender roles are provided for me. If I leave this group and just be with you, you have to provide everything that everyone else was providing in this social group. If you can't do that on your own, then I'm not going to risk it. And of course she's not going to risk it because that would be stupid. So you got to make sure that, A, you know how to win people over and play a role within a social group. By the way, the leader and the host of a social group are typically the most valuable for men. It's one of the most valuable roles for men. Also, if you can play as many male roles as possible while you're still in that social group, then a lot of people will feel very comfortable and relieved around you. But if you can win everyone over in the social group and put yourself within that group, you have free reign then to date anyone within that social group because they won't have to leave their group in order to date you. This is why it's so important to understand how to build your social circle. It's so crucial. This is just a numbers game. If it was just a numbers game and that's it, then you would your ability to build your social circle would be the sole source of all the women that you would be dating. It's very crucial. One of the things that I used to do is I used to infiltrate social circles just in order to see if this concept was actually true, because I learned this concept from studying relationship psychology. And whenever I started doing it, I started recognizing that not only was it true, but it was extremely powerful only on its own, just using this one concept. So it's very major. A third rule of long-term attraction is called chemical attraction. Chemical attraction is not necessarily pheromones, though to date, I really don't think that there has been, unless there's some breaking news right now, there should not have been a discovery of a true and proven human pheromone. So anytime that you hear about pheromones, you can't really be sure that those are true and real pheromones. A lot of people claim that they've found the human pheromone, but it's never been proven as far as I know, at least. So chemical attraction, though, instead is our really powerful sense of from our olfactory, which is our basically the subconscious part of our nose, if you want to break it down to really simple terms. Our olfactory picks up scents that are very, very advanced, and usually they link directly to emotions. So if we smell something subconsciously that reminds us in some sort of way of our parents, let's say, if we have a positive association with those parents, then we have a positive feeling. What your sense of smell, your olfactory sense, is one of the only senses that completely bypasses your logical brain from the very beginning. It never really passes through your logical brain. We end up being completely vulnerable to any kind of scent that we find. Now, if you want to make good use of your chemical attraction, you want to make sure you keep fresh chemicals in your body. So that means that you want to make sure that you work out, your sweat is fresh. That's typically very attractive. You want to make sure that you have a high testosterone level, which means get lots of protein, things like this. And also, you can, if you're going to put on cologne or something, don't put too much on to actually hide your natural scent. Another thing that people do is they end up putting cologne on when, in fact, cologne may induce attraction, but it doesn't necessarily induce rapport and make people comfortable around you. So why do you put cologne on? You put cologne on because you want to attract women. Any guy who goes into a place and strictly wants to attract women and is so interested in attracting women that he puts on cologne to trick them, to make them feel something, is someone that who needs to be kind of watched a little bit closely. It doesn't mean that they're not worthy, trustworthy, but it just means that they need to be watched. So when you get to the rapport section and you actually start building rapport with these women, she may be a little bit weary because you had cologne on. What I used to do is I used to wear cologne, but I'd also wear vanilla-scented lotion. So what vanilla-scented lotion does is the scent of vanilla is an international scent of comfort. A lot of real estate brokers would find that whenever they burnt vanilla-scented candles in their homes that their sales would go up. And the reason why is because it makes people feel like home. It feels comfortable. So when I'd wear this vanilla-scented lotion, people would get the scent of the cologne from a little bit further away. When they got closer to me, they'd smell the vanilla, and that would make them feel very comfortable. Just a little trick, a little technique that I used to use in order to increase the chemical attraction that I would have with people. Fourth is sociobiological. Sociobiological attraction is basically whatever old provider-protector ideas and old nurturing ideas we used to have are the old roles, gender roles. All of those things that indicated the old gender role are still attractive. So, for example, broad shoulders, sort of loose hips, strong legs, and strong jawbone in men is still very attractive, and big arms. This is provider-protector. Physically, you'll be able to protect them. Physically, you'll be able to provide. And women, curvy hips, larger breasts for feeding as well, hips for birthing, and big eyes, basically, which make you feel like you want to protect and take care of this person. All of these physical traits are their nurturing ability, the traditional nurturing gender role. So these are all sociobiological attraction. This is a really powerful attractor. It isn't enough, but it's enough to make people interested in the first place. If you don't have this, you can't be sure that you are going to be the only one in someone's life. So the fifth is called reinforcement. Reinforcement is the idea that you make someone more important or more attractive every time you talk to them, every time you're with them. When they leave you, they feel less important, less attractive, and whenever they're with you, they feel more attractive and more important. The way that you do this, so there are three different scenarios that you can come out of this. This is a typical one for the example here. I'm going to use a typical student-teacher relationship. Teacher being the person who is doing the value giving, so if you are the person who's making her feel more comfortable, feel more attractive, you are the teacher, she's the student. And if she's making you feel more comfortable and more attractive, then you're the student, she's the teacher. So if it's just a student-teacher relationship, you only have two different scenarios you can come out of that. There's another way you can do it, a third way, and I'll get to that in a bit. The two that do not work are what are called the free bird theory and the caged bird theory. The free bird theory is the idea that the student starts to grow. Regardless of what happens in every scenario, the student will grow. When the student begins to grow and begins to almost outgrow the teacher, the free bird theory states that whenever someone begins to grow, when the student begins to grow and get better, instead of holding them back, which is another theory, you let them go. They grow, they become as good as you, and eventually you say, look, you've outgrown me. You're going to do really well in the world. Go out and find the next person who can help you grow. That's the free bird theory. Now, this is bad because it doesn't help the relationship work. The relationship doesn't work between the two of you, but again, at the same time, it's better than the next scenario. The next theory is called the caged bird theory. Caged bird theory is whenever the same scenario is happening, the student is growing, the student is outgrowing the teacher, and the teacher sees that, and out of fear starts to feed the student negative or incorrect or negatively reinforcing ideas to hold them in their place so they don't grow beyond the teacher. This is very detrimental. It happens out of fear, and a lot of people do this. Important that you understand why it happens in the first place, though, because it is fear that induces this in the first place. So make sure that, you know, if you're going to blame somebody, you can only blame them for being afraid. You can't really blame them for maliciously doing it, because though it's a really horrible thing to do, it's something that they do out of fear. So keep that in mind. So neither of those work. But the one scenario that does work is called mutual reinforcement. Mutual reinforcement states that you're a student under them and they're a student under you. So that means that though you may have a lot of value to give somebody, you need to make them feel like they have value to give you too. And it's your job to draw that value out of them. So where their looks may just be good enough for you, you may be like, well, they're hot, so that's enough value for me. I feel better when I'm around them. You need to let them know that that's what you're getting from them. You know, you need to let them know that every day you're with them, you feel better in some kind of sense. And they need to let you know that every time they're with you, they feel more important, more attractive, and better in some kind of sense as well. If you constantly balance this, the number of problems in your relationships will go to near nil. It will be close to zero. It is something that you're going to have to constantly balance, though. As soon as it gets out of hand, there are all sorts of psychological games that we play in order to backwards rationalize this and make it seem like it's the other person's fault. As soon as that happens, your relationship's over. So very, very important. The final, and one of my most, I think the most important of the six rules of long-term attraction is called similarity. Like I said before, people used to think that this was similarity as in you like baseball, I like baseball, let's make out, you know? And that's not what similarities are. If you've ever been to a baseball game, you know that for sure. So similarities, what I used to think, was actually different things that you are allowed to build rapport on. But the truth is, we actually attract people who have similar insecurity levels. So similarity is having a similar insecurity level to someone else. So the kind of women that you're attracting are the kind of women that have the same insecurity level as you. If you're a very insecure guy, you're going to attract very insecure women. If you're a very confident guy, guess what? You're going to attract very confident women. So in theory, if you only work on your own confidence, you will naturally attract more confident women. And the more confident women are typically either a little bit older and have more maturity, or they have they're very confident in their looks. They're very attractive women. But there are two types of similarities that normally attract us to people. And those two types are called common insecurities and complementary insecurities. Common insecurities are whenever we have the same insecurity. So you're overweight, I'm overweight, so I feel like now you're not going to leave me because if you leave me, then no one's going to accept you. And that the relationship is based on that concept. That acceptance in the relationship, that rapport that was built, was based on you both being overweight, you both having a problem. So instead of having similarity or common insecurity as a point, you can also have complementary insecurity. Complementary insecurity is whenever you attract someone of the same insecurity level, but they have a skill set that can help you and you have a skill set that can help them. So you both see that you can help each other get over your own insecurities. And this is the only way that you can make a relationship work is if you have complementary insecurities. It's very crucial. If you don't have complementary insecurities and you have common insecurities, you're basing your relationship on stagnation again. You're basing your relationship on your ability to feel comfortable, but you don't grow whenever you're comfortable. So if you feel really comfortable with somebody and that's all you feel, you don't feel like you improve as a person whenever you're with them, and in very major ways especially, then, or you can face every one of your insecurities with them, then the relationship will not work out. So make sure that you frame the relationship in the beginning so that everyone knows, and from the very beginning point, the very first point, everyone knows that you are there to improve and be better every day. Again, it all boils down to you owning these three pillars of badass.